Hey everyone, it's been a while. So I thought we would do another spotlight. Now for the last little bit, behind the scenes content hasn't exactly been happening here in the boudoir. So let's remedy that. I enjoy doing behind the scenes content. I like, analyzing the audios and talking about this stuff. And you guys seem to enjoy it. I've had actually quite a few requests lately, for this type of stuff. I have recently made a change over on Patreon, so behind the scenes isn't part of that anymore. And part of the reason for that is that I want to be able to do it more on a broad scale and be able to bring it back into the boudoir. I kind of like being able to just, record me rambling about my audios or my process or whatever you guys ask me about, whenever I want. So, keeping that sort of in the boudoir instead of over on Patreon just made more sense. So here we are. The audios that we're going to talk about today, as you know from the title, because you clicked on it, is the Dude series, as it's become known so affectionately in my mind, because I have a hard time actually saying the title of the first one, and the second one, actually. The third one's fine. The Dude is just an L-bomb, but the first two, it's me. I blush when I say shit like that in real life. I can say whatever I want into the microphone, but that, not so much. And there's coffee because it's morning and there's always coffee in the morning. So I wanted to sort of touch on this series a little bit because I get a lot of questions about it. It was a big series for me that was never actually intended to be a series. It was intended to be a one-off. The motivation behind it was literally I need friends to lovers with a twist. I need it to be sort of a tomboy character. I don't want it to be the traditional friends to lovers where it's all mushy and gushy and romantic. And I want it to be a virgin situation. So I hadn't done a situation where both characters were virgins and where it was kind of this exploration before. So it was kind of all stemming from that. And funny enough, I had recorded something similar the same evening that ended up going to Patreon called A Favor Between Friends, where the listener character was the virgin and my character was the friend with more experience. And it didn't end up in that one being a long-term friends to lovers situation. It was kind of, I'm gonna help you with this problem. Because the guy was inexperienced and was, shy about it. So it was that dynamic. And that one ended up getting a sequel. I can't actually remember if I took it down a romantic road. I don't think I did. I think that one I was very clearly keeping them as, friends with benefits kind of thing. Which is what I had intended for the Dude series, or the Dude audio, the first one. The Dude, it's just a Yeah. Anyway, so that's the that was the motivation behind it is I had this little outline and it was basically he's telling her about this fucked up date where the chick just wanted to get her own, situation handled and he was just along for the ride, which I've heard that story before. In real life, I've had, friends that have divulged that situation before. And it's really mean. Like if you're ever the person that does that to somebody, don't be that person. That just makes you an asshole. So this fictional chick that, put this poor guy in the situation was sort of the catalyst for this whole thing. And I thought, as his friend, who's probably, if you look under the surface, who's probably been harboring shit for him for a while, and in her tomboy tsundere kind of inability to process emotion kind of way, didn't realize it. In her mind, it makes perfect sense to just be like, all right, let's just deal with this pesky virginity thing. And, I'll make it up to you. I won't make you stop because that's just a dick move. And that was kind of where my process went. Now, I knew she was going to be the tomboy because tomboy characters around here do very well. People like them. And I'll be honest, IRL, I'm totally a fucking tomboy. In case you hadn't got that, I can be as girly as I need to be. Don't really like it. Not 100% comfortable in that space. Gonna be honest, in real life, I prefer being the tomboy. Give me the rough and tumble and the no holds barred kind of shit. And this is a character that I'm very comfortable slipping into. I do a lot of more masculine, quote unquote, things. I fucking hate, giving things a gender. It's just stupid. But in the grand scheme of things, that is how a lot of things are traditionally seen as masculine or feminine. And I am very much in the masculine side in a lot of things. What I do for a living, the industry that I work in, all of that is very much male dominated. So it's just kind of how I roll. It's always been how I roll. Even as a kid, I was very much a tomboy. I didn't have any interest in hanging out with the girls and their Barbies and their makeup and all that shit. And I just, no. I would rather just go ride my bike and play video games and do my own thing with the boys, right? Not that way, but you know what I mean. Be one of the boys. And that was always me. So these tomboy characters are very familiar to me, and they're very easy to slip into. I don't think I've ever been this open about that particular aspect of my actual personality before, but if you've ever really listened to me talk, it's kind of there. I don't have much of a filter when it comes to that. Now, that being said, I can be as girly, quote unquote, as I need to be. I really hate the fucking gender shit that's happening here, but again, just not really another way to say it in my pre-coffee brain. And if this, use of the gender terms offends you, I apologize. I'm just going with what's in my head right now. So the whole character here that is very much rough and tumble and she's almost well, she is extreme in the way she is. I'm not quite that bad. But she is extreme in the fact that she has no filter and she's just like, fuck it. Like, let's just talk about this and, deal with it. Like, I have no qualms about this. I wanted to see how far I could push her without her being obnoxious. Because a character like that can really, rub you the wrong way if you're not careful. And she can come off as just rude. And there were moments where stuff came out of my mouth where I was like, was that a bit much? And then I kind of listened to it when I was editing and I was like, okay, that landed a little bit better than I thought it did. Because she's very blunt and very real and very authentic. And I think that's one of the things that I love about these tomboy characters is their authenticity. They're very genuine characters because they're not trying to put on airs. They're not trying to hide anything. They're not trying to be anything but what they are. And she's very much an example of that. Like, her whole thing was, dude, you got fucked over. Let's make it up to you. Let's make you feel better. And I don't know what the big deal is. It's just, that particular piece of male anatomy. Oh well, right? I think that's her charm, is she's so unaware of how blunt and how in your face she can be. And I think that's part of what makes the listener character respond to her the way he does. In the first one, they're kind of figuring shit out, and it was a surprise to me when I posted that one that people responded to it the way they did. Because it was honestly, I thought, you know what, people are either gonna like this and be like, okay, that was cute, moving on, or they're gonna be like, fuck, what the hell kind of character is this? Like, this is bullshit. And then it just took off. So then I started getting requests for a follow-up and I was like, what the hell do I do? Like, where do I take this? I hadn't thought beyond this. I thought they were just gonna, do it and we'll tell the story and move on. Because I've had conversations with writers about this. And as a writer myself, I've thought about this. And, in university, we did classes on the structure of sequels and series and follow-ups and that kind of thing. And you always have to have somewhere to go. There has to be another motivating incident for there to be a sequel. I mean, in porn, you kind of think, well, they're gonna have sex, so what else do you need? Okay, fair. But in the kind of audios that I prefer to do, there has to be a story somewhere. And in this particular situation, I needed to tell more of their story before I could give them more of a story. You know what I mean? So I kind of thought about it for a while, and I'm like, what the fuck do I do? Like, where do I take them? Are they still screwing around? Is the conflict that they're not and one of them wants to? Is the conflict that they're still completely fucking clueless? And then I kind of landed on that. And I thought, okay, I can play with that. I really like the idea of the board gamer trope that seems to be really popular right now, where somebody's gaming and the other person's doing shit to them or having shit done to them while they're the other person's gaming. I haven't done a whole lot in that sphere. I did a siren audio where my character was playing Animal Crossing, which I'm obsessed with, so not shocking that that was the game. But she's playing Animal Crossing, and the listener character is like, you had a bad day, so you do that and I'm gonna take care of other things. And they end up doing shit. But that's about as close as I've done. But I thought, you know what, in reality, I wonder how many times this situation happens where somebody is so into their game that the fact that they're getting a blowjob or a hand job, or there's a chick sitting in their lap doing shit to them, is kind of not processing. That actually came into my mind, and I thought, you know what? These two characters would be so fucking clueless that that would probably be a thing. And it would most likely lead to her being frustrated enough to be like, dude, get over your shit and focus, please. Which gives more opportunity for us to see her personality. Because she doesn't strike me as the type that would just sit there and take that, you know what I mean? So I thought, okay, that's a good starting point, but where does it go? Like, okay, so she tries to have sex, he doesn't respond, she gets pissed, and she decides she's gonna give him a blowjob. Okay, boring. Like, once the blowjob starts, what is there other than obviously a blowjob? But from a character development and a story development standpoint, where do I go? And then I thought, okay, well, they're talking maybe about a party or something, and she mentions some other guy, and maybe that gets his attention. Because maybe, just maybe, there might be a little bit more here than just hanging out and having sex. And that was kind of the first time that I thought, I wonder if I can push this a little bit further. Is she the type of character that can let go of this rough and tumble persona enough to be vulnerable with somebody to that extent, to be open and accepting of a relationship? And I thought, huh, okay. But if I do that, it can't be one audio because that thing would be like 3 hours long. That's not cool. So I thought, I'm gonna sort of plant the seed and see how it goes. Because you guys have been so phenomenal with the feedback on the first one. I thought, if this one flies, I'm sure to hear about it. The sort of cliffhanger with the other guy and the response to it, especially the way the sexual situation turned when she started bringing that into it. And I thought, you know what? Let's see how it goes. Because that to me seemed like a really good push toward what could be a really satisfying ending. So that's where I went with it. Now, I've kind of done the whole, rough and tumble, very powerful female dynamic before. Not one of my more widely known pieces. It's a series called Who's the Boss? It was released exclusively to Siren, and it's an older character. It's an executive type character. But again, it's a character who doesn't open up easily. So I've kind of played with that trope before, but not like this. And she's very much a young and inexperienced person who doesn't actually know what the fuck she wants and doesn't know how to articulate what she wants, which makes that insecurity in herself and in the vulnerability even worse. Which, again, there's so much I can do with her, and then I have to watch that line before she becomes fucking obnoxious. So it becomes a question of, does her own insecurities, especially when she starts to realize what she wants, do they make her obnoxious, or does she start to have confidence in the connection between them and figure her shit out to the point where it's endearing? And I wasn't sure. I really wasn't sure. When I recorded the second one, dude, it's just a blowjob. I didn't know what way this was going to go. And I was kind of watching some of the feedback, because I had a rough outline of kind of where I thought it would go. And I knew what was going to kind of happen theoretically in my mind. But I thought, if this doesn't get the response I'm hoping for, I'm going to go a different way. So I recorded the second one, and I was actually quite happy with how it came out because it surpassed even my expectations. And this is the thing with improv, okay? I don't know that I've done a spotlight on an improv since the first one, since the Dom Drop audio. I think they've all been script fills. But with improv, I just kind of go with it, and if it sucks, I'll re-record, or fuck, sometimes I just scrap it. But there are times that I don't actually know what's going to happen until it comes out of my mouth, and then I go, oh shit. Or I don't even realize what I've done until I get into the editing process and I have to listen to it. And sometimes that's an absolute train wreck, let me tell you. There have been times when I'm listening to myself back in the editing process and I'm like, what was I smoking? And like, holy shit, I shouldn't be allowed out by myself. Sometimes that happens. And I was worried about that with this because these audios are long. Like, none of them are short. Particularly the last one. It's a marathon. And I thought, you know, when you're rambling into a microphone that long all at once, and you're not really following any particular construct, you just kind of spitballing as you go, it can be dangerous. So I thought, okay, we'll see what we get. So when I was listening back to it, and I was hearing these little moments, and her personality just started to really come through, I was like, wow, shit, I don't know where that came from, but it worked. So I basically was hearing, and this is weird for me too in an improv, because improv obviously is my characters. When I'm doing a script fill, I can find the character that the writer has created, right? So it's nothing to do with me. It's all this character that this other person has put together for me. And that's fabulous because then I don't have to like figure out what parts of the character are important and, you know, that kind of thing. It's all there for me. I just have to follow the cues and figure out how to present it. When it's improv, I have to walk a line because I don't want every character to just be me. Like, that's not acting. That's just, you know, faking shit into a microphone in terms of having a conversation with myself, right? That's not what I'm doing. So when I create these characters in my head and I'm doing it in the moment, I have to walk that line, excuse me, of putting too much of myself into it, or, which is the fun part, taking pieces of my own personality and exaggerating them and really just putting them out there in a way that's not reality for me, but could work in this medium and could work in the sense that it creates a whole different person and lets me play with those aspects of my personality. So in this case, obviously, it's the tomboy aspect. It's that really rough and tumble, blunt aspect. And I can be that way. Like, honest to God, I can be that way. I'm not that bad, but I have it in me. So I thought, let's just do that. And then when I'm listening back to it, especially in the second one, I could hear like pieces of me come out of my mouth, and I'm like, oh, okay. But then the next, like, I'd hear a line or something that would happen, and then the next thing would be completely something that I would not say. So it was a weird balancing act that I was hearing. And I kind of just sat there and went, huh, that worked, which I don't do very often. I'm the biggest critic of my own shit. Like, I cringe at everything I do. But this was just like, that worked. She is walking that line beautifully. And her frustration when, she basically climbs on top of him and he's trying to see around her to see the game. Like, that was funny to me. When I was editing, I was like, wow, that guy's fucking clueless. And buddy, really? So, there was these little moments that just jumped out at me. And I thought, if I'm responding this way and it's my own voice, which is kind of weird, I'm hoping you guys are going to love it, because I'm doing a sequel because it was asked for, and because I was able to come up with a story that I think will move these characters forward and allow them to develop, and allow them to have a journey rather than just let's hear them have sex again, because that's what we want to hear, because that's fun. And undoubtedly, right? But it had to have a purpose. And I think we found the purpose and the flow. There's a friend of mine hates that word flow, especially in an English context, in a writing context, because it's so overblown in academic circles. But that's what it is in an audio and a performance context. It is a flow. It is a continuous consistency through the story. And once I kind of hit that groove with them, it was like I knew exactly where it needed to go. So once I posted the second one, Dude, It's Just a Blowjob, I was surprised it became bigger than the first one, performance-wise. You guys just latched onto that one like crazy. Now, I will admit, the titles for this series are total clickbait. When I do titles for GWA, I've started being a little bit more attention grabby than clever, because I find that the algorithm actually responds better that way. When the titles have more of the tag-esque words in them, than they do if it's just like a clever title that, alludes to what's going on. If there's, mentions of certain words, certain things that are tagged, the algorithm tends to pick up the audio faster, and it has a better chance at a good performance. That's just GWA logic, from a technical standpoint. And I've sort of seen this happen over the last year and a half that I've been tracking this shit. So I thought, I say dude all the time. Like, it's my thing that I say that, and y'all. So I thought, that's something she said. I think she says it actually in the audio. She's like, dude, it's just a cock. Like, what's the problem, right? And I just said that, and I just turned six shades of red when I said that, and my whole face flushed. Moving on. So I thought that'd be like the perfect title. And then when I did the second one, it was like, dude, it's just a blowjob. Like, fuck, what's the big deal? Because her whole thing is everything is nonchalant, everything is meh, it's just that. What's the problem here? And then the third one, so after the second one blew up, I thought, okay, I know where I have to go with this, because the comment section on the second one, and you can look for yourself, mentioned the other guy and the jealousy factor quite a bit, which is what I wanted. I wanted people to pick up on that, because that told me that I was going in the right direction with the third one. So I kind of watched that, and then I thought about it and I thought, how am I going to title the third one? Because, I mean, obviously they kept up the theme of, trying new things physically. Because obviously the first one they had sex, like actual penetrative sex. The second one was the blowjob. The third one, he goes down on her, and that's how it starts, which was a really fun premise too. Is this she walks in on him watching porn, and he's figuring out how to, go down on her, which is interesting in and of itself. But again, creating that conflict. I think she just likes to like rag on him, which is kind of a dynamic between them, but in a fun way. Like, we're gonna be late and you're fucking doing this. What the hell, right? So I wanted to keep the themes of the first two going in the third one, but it had to be done in a way that was almost an homage more so than literal, because the context in the third one changed completely. And I'll tell you, I was surprised that people responded to the third one the way they did, because that thing is long and the build on it is incredibly slow, which I did not intend. I didn't intend for it to be such a slow burn, but that story needed to be told properly. It needed to be told in such a way that it allowed her the time and the space to get there. If I had rushed that, if I had made that shorter, if I had made cuts to the story, because I tried, it wouldn't have been as good. It wouldn't have been as authentic, and I don't think the payoff would have felt as satisfying. So when I was looking at those elements, the title and the trying new things, I mean, obviously the biggest new thing in the third one is the fact that there's L-bombs, right? Like they're saying, I love you. And this is not something either of them have ever said before. It's not something either of them have ever experienced before. And it's a new experience. So kind of like the other two, but in an emotional way instead of a physical way. But obviously there's a physical thing going on there too, which was kind of a throwback to the first two. So I kind of wanted to tie all of that together. And it felt like a really good bookend, because the first one opened with so much naivete. Like it was so clueless. And the third one was as well, but in a completely different way. And yet it allowed them to be clueless together and not so clueless at the same time. It felt like they were finally clued in. But they had no idea what was coming, because neither of them have ever had that journey. So the next part of the journey, which is the actual relationship, like they've been, screwing around and stuff for however long now, but the emotional part of the relationship, the part where they admit how deep this actually goes and how connected they actually are, that's a brand new journey, which kind of mirrors the journey that they start with having sex in the first one. But that's physical. So it was kind of a nice parallel and a good way to bookend the series. So this is all going through my head as I'm figuring out what I want to do. And I really, like I said, I like the idea of her walking in on him watching porn, because I had a conversation not too long ago with a friend about porn being so mainstream now. And they had commented about somebody had told them about walking into a room at a party and there was like porn on the TV and nobody cared. Like it was just people were watching this and nobody gave a shit. And that just kind of floored me. I was like, do people do this with other people in the room now? Like, what is this? I guess I'm old. I don't know. I don't judge. Like, I don't care, but it just seemed like something that I've never heard of before. And I thought, what would be the response if you walked in on, your intimate partner doing that, and A, you were late for something, because I think somebody with her personality, that wouldn't fly. And B, just the shock of it. Like, what do you do with that, right? Especially with an inexperienced person that's like, oh shit, what are you doing? It kind of gave me this funny little image of this character walking in and being like, dude, what the fuck? And that would be her. So it was a really weird conversation too, because I was like, I don't even know what to do with this. I don't know what to say to this, and I'm grossly uncomfortable. And that was kind of the end of that conversation. But it was kind of a nice starting point because it gave her a reason to be like, okay, what the hell? And it sort of spitballed in my mind. It allowed me to spitball the conversation, and then move it in the direction I needed it to go. Because he has a motivation for doing what he's doing, right? He's trying to learn how to keep her satisfied because he's now threatened by this other jackass at this party. And that in itself was kind of a sweet idea because he's so clueless that his first thought is, I'm gonna watch porn to figure out how to, give her better orgasms because that's what's gonna keep her with me. Like, this is clueless boy logic in so many ways. And I'm sorry if that offends anybody, but oh my God, it's kind of true. And this is the character that's been created because he's kind of clueless. Like, we learned that in the second one, right? Fucking dipshit is trying to see around the girl that's basically riding him, kind of clueless. But that's where his mind goes, is I'm gonna watch this unrealistic portrayal of human sexuality to learn how to keep my friend interested in me because all we do is have sex so that she's not looking at this other guy. It's such a ludicrous idea, but it absolutely felt like something this character would do. It also added the shock value that I wanted for her because I needed her thrown off balance. I needed her to not be in a comfortable situation where she's in control. For her to be caught off guard enough to let the guard down, to accept what he's saying to her, to sort of allow the idea of this relationship and these feelings to actually get in, she needed to be completely thrown. And I think this is the move. So that's where that came from. It was kind of a bunch of different things sort of created that initial moment. And then as they're moving through it, and it starts to sort of come to the surface what's going on. And I think she actually says, she's like, I call him dipshit. What does that tell you? Like, does she call him dipshit? Is it dipshit? Oh, fuck, I'll have to listen to it again. I just listened to it not too long ago just to double check it, but I think it is dipshit. Correct me if I'm wrong in the comments. If I'm wrong and she calls him like the guy at the party something else, please tell me I'm wrong. But I think it is dipshit, which is what I call people that I don't particularly enjoy. So there's real life moment. But yeah, it's kind of a weird way of forcing her to face what's going on. And as it progresses, it gets really heavy, which I did not intend. I did not intend it to become like a sledgehammer. That was not a thing. I did not intend it to become sort of a next like an emotional piece. I intended it to stay kind of lighthearted and funny because there's a lot of humor in this. Like, her personality lends itself very well to sarcastic humor, obviously. But it kind of put a lot of that aside when she had to get real for a minute. Even though there's those little quips in there where she kind of she shows through, which is very much what I do, by the way, when I'm faced with something heavy and I'm uncomfortable, the jokes and the little sarcastic comments find their way in, because that's how I deal with shit. So she does have elements of me in there quite a bit. But it got really heavy really quick. And part of me was like, do I go back and re-record this? And I had this conversation with my beta listener. I was like, I recorded this final piece, and I'm not sure if I want it to go this way, because that was the other struggle. So here's where the series that I mentioned, Who's the Boss, comes in, because in that series, and spoiler, if you want to listen to it, stop listening to this now and skip ahead. In Who's the Boss, it's an F-dom dynamic all the way through. So she's in control, she's the boss all the way through. And then in the last one, she, declares her love because she's bucking him all the way through. Like, she's just like, no, I can't, I can't, I can't. And then in the last one, she's just like, fuck it, I'm in. And then it switches from an F dom dynamic to an F sub dynamic, and she completely gives up control. So I kind of was going to have it go that way at first. So have the big heavy conversation, but instead of having her go with it and have the L bombs and everything, I was actually going to do a fourth part. And in the third part, I was going to have her be like, no, like, I can't do this. This is too much, and have her leave. I'm pretty sure there would have been a fucking mutiny if I did that, but it's okay. If I had done that, that was great English. English major, awesome, can't speak. It's fine. So that was sort of what I was playing with. And I told my beta listener this, and I said, you know, and my beta listener is a big fan of the Who's the Boss series, loves that series. And that was one of the things that they mentioned, was kind of the dynamic was similar, but obviously different characters. And I thought, okay, I've done that before, and I don't really want to do that again, even though they're wildly different series dynamics. Like, the whole series is very different. It still feels like the same beats that I'd be hitting all the way through. And I don't think it would be as satisfying a payoff to have them come back, because how do I throw her off guard again in a fourth one? Because the porn thing was such a perfect way to do it in this one. So that was kind of where I was going with that. And I recorded it, and I was like, just if it sucks, tell me. So I said that to the beta listener. I was like, if it's awful, can you just clue me in, please? And they listened to it, and they were like, no, it's perfect. Like, there couldn't be a better ending to this series, which made me feel better. Because usually the beta listener is not usually, most of the time, like 99.9% of the time, the beta listener knows their shit. And the other 0.1% of the time, it's a fluke. So I don't particularly question the beta listener all that often. So when they said that it was a satisfying ending from a listener perspective, I was like, okay, that works. So I don't have to rework this. But it meant that everything that I had built, you know, in terms of her emotional development, paid off, and it paid off the way I wanted it to. I think when you get invested in a series like this, in a character like this, that payoff is huge. And if you don't have it, it's such a disappointment. I mean, have you ever read like a book or watched a movie and you get so into it, and you root for the characters and you want the outcome to go their way so much, and then it gets to the end and they go like completely fucking sideways, and you're left feeling like somebody died or something. Like, you're just, you don't know what to do because it did not happen. And it's just this unfulfilled feeling where you're kind of waiting for that next step that doesn't come. It's like this anticipatory energy that never gets satisfied. And that's what I wanted to avoid, because I thought there would be a mutiny around here if I didn't give them the payoff that I had built to at that point. So I finished editing the audio, and I, you know, put it all together. I did try to edit it down for time, but I took out what I could. There was a few useless things, and there was one point where she started talking about some random childhood thing that was completely useless and irrelevant at time. Like, it didn't work. It was just a tangent that I went on, and it didn't work. So I managed to pull myself back into where I needed to be, but yeah, that's the stuff that happens in improv. You never know what the fuck you're going to get. So I edited. Good Lord. I haven't finished my coffee. Can you tell? I finished the editing process. That's better. And it was, you know, it was good. And like I said, the beta listener told me it was exactly what I wanted it to be. And I posted it. The title of it, The Dude Is Just an L-Bomb, I went back and forth on quite a bit, because it was not as graphic or as explicit as the first two, but I needed to show the progression and the change in the characters and in their relationship and the situation. And I thought changing the dynamic of the title was kind of the perfect way to hint at that, right? So we went from, you know, the object to the action to now the feeling. And it was kind of like a nice little progression through. So very much, very much intentional. I knew it wouldn't catch the algorithm as much, but whatever. I was hoping that people would see it and like the other two enough that that wouldn't matter. And that's what happened. It became almost as big as the other two. So the second one is the biggest of the three, and then the first one followed very closely by the third one. But what floored me the most was the comments. So on the third one, I did not anticipate your reaction, like the listener reaction. There was so much connection to this one that I didn't expect. People were talking about how it reminded them of their ex and how they felt, they had been in this situation before and how real the characters felt and how, yes, it was a really long, like it's like 20 plus or something minutes of the emotional part before you get to the sexy part, despite the porn in the beginning. And people were commenting, like, even though it was long, it didn't feel long. It felt like what needed to happen, right? So I was really shocked at that because sometimes, and I get this a lot, actually, it's not sometimes, it's quite frequently, I get messages where people are like, why are your audios so long-winded? Can't you just get to the sex and like stop the rest of it? Because that happens entirely too much. They clearly don't know where they are when they're listening to my shit. If they are expecting any different. Because the funny thing is, anytime I release an audio that's like straight to the action, it doesn't do as well. I did one recently on GWA, and Dildo Makes Three, whereas literally they're having sex right at the start of the audio. The emotional part happens during the sex, and it finishes with this hugely intense climax. And it didn't, like, people didn't respond to it. It didn't do well at all. And it was a friggin' scorching sex audio all the way through with this great big thumping heart in the middle, obviously. But because it wasn't a long build on the story, or there wasn't really a story build, it didn't take. So when I get these messages where people are like, why are your audios so long-winded? Can't you just get to the fucking? And that's usually how they say it. Excuse my fucking profanity. I kind of go, well, read the room, dude. Like, read the room, because see where you are. And this is not my listener base. My listener base likes the slower builds. They like the stories. And I do too. I love doing story-based stuff. Eventually, I would like to move more toward like a YouTube safe for work type stuff. And that is in the plans to sort of do that kind of thing eventually at some point as well. So that's just what I do. So when people were like loving this long, slow build on this audio, I was surprised. I shouldn't have been, but I was, because it was excessive even for me. And the payoff was the emotional part as much as the physical, which I like really love, because that doesn't happen the way I would like it to. Sorry, I just lost my train of thought. That doesn't happen the way I would like it to, as much as it could. So it tells me I have to up my game, right? But yeah, it went over so well. And the funny part is, people were still like, can we have more? Which I honestly can't do, because I don't know where else to take these people at this point. I think that was a very nice period on their sentence, and I'm gonna leave it there. But just the response to this entire series has been phenomenal. Like, people were just coming out of the woodwork for it. And even now, I still get comments on it. I still get awards for it. I still get messages about it. And it's been out for a bit now. And that's incredible to me. So whatever was in that audio, it just struck a chord. And I am so happy with that, because it's one that's very near and dear to me. In a lot of ways. And as I said, that character, the female character, is quite the interesting one to play. And the fact that everybody responded to her in such a wholehearted way, when she had the potential to be a complete train wreck, is phenomenal to me. So, and this thing is like 45 minutes long now. and because I'm long-winded, but to be fair, it's three audios that we were talking about, so it's 15 minutes an audio. Let's call it that. I'm going to use that as my excuse. Because three audios is a lot to cover. So this is my thoughts on the Dude series. Let me know in the comments what your thoughts on it were, if that's what brought you here, because I know a lot of people came to me from that series and have kind of stuck around. So if that's the one that, brought you this way, please share your thoughts. Share how you feel since, if you found the content has lived up to that. And what you think about her character, what you think about the journey, and sort of if what I've shared has given you any further insight into it. Because it's definitely a series that was unexpected and has a lot going on. So I'm always interested to hear what people think. Even, after having listened to it, even a couple months ago, if going back on a second or third, or one guy messaged me and said he'd listened to it like 30 times each part. And I was like, wow, thank you. That's a lot. I appreciate the time commitment. Wow. Huge. So, let me know. Do you still listen to it? Does it stand up to repeat listenings? Do you still like the character? What were your favorite things about her? These are the things that I love talking to my listeners about, and it's something that I want to get back into here in the boudoir, because I haven't been as active as I would like. IRL is kind of a train wreck right now, but I want to have more of these conversations with you guys. We used to have these conversations all the time here, and we don't anymore. So with all the new people, there's so much to talk about and so much going on with the audios. So please, by all means, sound off in the comments. Let me know. And that's it for me for this one. The spotlight on Dude. We now have one. My first spotlight on an improv, if I remember correctly. That's not the Dom drop audio, which was the first one, but it's the first in the 2.0 era. Let's call it that. Since I figured out my shit and how to do this properly, so. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you everybody for being here, for taking a chance on the audios, for putting the time into listening, and for commenting, for upvoting, for looking at Patreon. Patreon's growing like crazy, and there's a lot of great content over there. There's a lot of great content coming to the boudoir. So just thank you for being here and for being you. And I hope everybody stays safe, stays healthy, and I will talk to y'all soon.